Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Forza Italian Football Podcast. I'm your host, Connor Clancy. I'm very, very, very happy this week because I've been back inside a Serie A stadium for the first time. First time in a stadium since May. First time in a Serie A stadium since, I think, February. So it's been good. I'm joined to talk about the latest Serie A action by my friend Vito Doria. Vito, it's good to see you and speak to you again. How is everything?
Look, in general, things are okay. But football is a great distraction and I think in general, the European leagues, they've been exciting, but Serie A in particular has been on fire so far. So, yeah, really looking forward to talking about the latest action from round two.
Yeah, it has been on fire, but there have been 2-0 draws in Serie A this season. Both of them came this weekend, and both of them were games that I did the match reports on. So, guys, I'll warn you in the future if I'm doing a report on a game, maybe don't watch it. Also joined by another friend of mine, Kev Pogzielski. Kev, it's good to see you again. How are you?
I'm good. I'm also still getting into stadiums, so you know the world isn't ruining that for us. I'm hopefully going to be allowed into San Siro to watch Liverpool later in the season, so maybe you can tell me if I'm going to have to jump through loads of red tape. Did you have that this weekend going in on the...
Right, so... Yeah, I was back at a game, and this is the first time I've been at a game since the Green Pass was implemented. Obviously, I've been at games throughout the pandemic, fortunately. I've been one of the lucky ones who's still been able to go. But no, it was very, very straightforward. It was a little bit strange, because when I got to the Mappe at first, it was the first time in, I guess, 18 months that I collected my accreditation from the usual place and not at the actual gate. So everything was back in order. The tickets weren't being sold where they had been getting sold during the weird months of the pandemic where people were still allowed to go to games. The accreditation was picked up like pre-COVID world. And then I went up to the gate and there were little gazebos set up with the people doing the Green Pass scanning. So I walked up to those, got the Green Pass scanned, went over, got my ticket scanned and went in. So I won't say that it added another queue, but it just added another stop-off point en route to the gate. And it was all very, very straightforward. Although my heart did stop momentarily because I've known that a lot of people have been having slight issues with the Green Pass in Italy. And when I got to the gate, the girl scanned it and I was kind of half paying attention and all I heard was, non va, it's not working. And then she scanned it again and says, no, it's not working. And then she looked at her superior, who thankfully came over and did it from a different angle. And it worked. And I was so relieved when I heard that do-ding rather than the do-do. So it was nice. But no extra complications, I would say. Although that's from the press side of things. I'm not sure in terms of getting tickets if it is any more complicated. But based on my experience, Kev, you should be okay.
Good, good. I did see somebody, must have been a fan based in Italy, who's going to the Bentegodi. And he managed to get tickets fine. It didn't look like he was a season ticket holder. Obviously, they're playing Inter, which is probably a very popular game. But he said he like had two checks here and then another two things were checked. But he just, you know, they left it very early and got in, obviously. And
I did see that actually at Lazio too. A friend of the pod, a long-time listener, Scott, who said that he had to go through, I think, two different checks for the Green Pass, curiously. But anyway, yeah, let's see. Anyway, guys, look, we're here to talk about the Serie A action that happened on the pitch. Before we get into it, just another reminder that Forza Italian Football are now on Patreon. We will be doing a lot of exclusive content solely for our patrons. We did a bonus podcast last week. Myself and Ewan did a quick preview to the round to come, which has now been and gone. And there will be a newsletter, which is starting tomorrow, actually. I'll be sending that out. So do head over to patreon.com/Forza Italian Football. Sign up for as little, who knows, €2 a month. Maximum is €10 a month, and there's a nice middle one of €5 a month. So head over there, sign up, and get bonus content as well as priority to questions on the podcast. Round two, it's finished. The results are as follows. Udinese beat Venezia 3-0. Venezia really struggling to adapt to life in Serie A since their promotion. Verona put up a fight but lost 3-1 to Inter, inspired by debutant Joaquin Correa. Lazio beat Spezia 6-1. Ciro Immobile with a first half hat-trick. Atalanta drew 0-0 with Bologna. Fiorentina beat Torino 2-1. Empoli, for the first time ever, went away to Juve and won 1-0. Napoli beat Genoa 2-1. Sassuolo and Sampdoria played out a scoreless draw. Roma beat Salernitana 4-0. And Milan thumped Cagliari 4-1. So they're all the games. Those are all of the results. And we are going to start where else than at the Allianz Stadium, where Vito Empoli went away and beat Juventus 1-0. What a result. As I said, it's the first time in their history that they have won away at Juventus. Incredible.
Oh, the result in itself was incredible, but it wasn't a fluke either. It was a surprising result considering that Empoli have just been promoted back into Serie A, and also Juve won 9 titles in the previous decade, but Empoli, they took their chance in the first half thanks to Leonardo Mancuso, but they were very composed on the ball. The coach, Andrea Zoli, had his players in natural positions that suited them. He didn't deviate from what was there last season under Dionisi. And when they were on the ball, they were a lot more fluid. They were able to create chances, find the spaces. So although they were strong defensively and they were able to limit Juve's space most of the time, they were still able to generate those scoring opportunities, and they probably should have scored another one or two.
No, they should have. They should have. And I'm really, really happy for Empoli, Mancuso, and Andrea Zoli, of course, because I'm sure you guys have seen, I hope you guys have seen on Twitter, a video has resurfaced from, I believe it was 2 or 3 years ago, when he took Empoli away to Juve and they lost. He went to do his press conference after Allegri had done his, and the press room is empty. And he arrives and he looks around and he thinks, okay. And the first thing he says is, Allegri's already come and gone. Yeah. And it sounds like there are two journalists there, and they just quickly say, yes. He goes, okay, this is why there's nobody here. Anyway, Pochi Mabuoni, I just loved that. I loved that from him, and it's nice to see him go back there and get a win. I'm sure the journalists were dying to ask him questions after the game, for sure. What a result that was. But we've got to say it, Kev, as impressive as... Actually, no, I forgot. Vito, I want to stick with you because we've got to talk about Mancuso, don't we? He's 29 years old. He was previously owned by Juventus. I think in 2018 or something. Now he's gone away to Juve with Empoli, and he's only gone and scored his first ever Serie A goal against Juventus. It's a remarkable story.
Yes, he's one of those guys that's risen from the lower divisions of Italian football, and Italy has that uncanny ability to find these late bloomers, these players who might not have been promising youngsters coming through the youth ranks or the big teams, but they've started from obscurity and worked their way up. Mancuso was a winger in the lower divisions, but eventually got converted into a striker, and he produced some impressive numbers at teams like Catanzaro, San Benedettese, and Pescara. Now he's with Empoli, and Empoli, with the style of play that they implement and also the way they know how to develop strikers or improve on their abilities, it's a great environment for him, and he's already become a cult hero with that goal. So it's a great memory to have, and an incredible rise for someone like him as well.
Yeah, for sure. You just know everyone in Catanzaro, with it being in the heart of Calabria, possibly even the capital of Calabria. I was probably cursing him this weekend, being likely Juventus supporters down that neck of the woods. Anyway, Kev, we've got to say it, because as good as Empoli were, Juventus were disastrous. We saw Giorgio Chiellini. Did we? Yes, it was Chiellini, say to Allegri on the side of the pitch, this isn't the team. And coming from him to Allegri, in the camera's vision, that is as damning as it gets for Juve.
Yeah, well, Chiellini would certainly know. You know, being one of the last now of the kind of great might be a strong word, but certainly the dominant Juventus side of the last kind of decade. And I was trying to sort of put my finger on what it is, because obviously there's been some relatively poor recruitment. You know, we know that the midfield hasn't
that's an understatement, to be fair. Well, the recruitment's been disastrous.
Yeah, but then I was trying to think of, you know, you think about the side that Allegri took over, and that's pot. Well, yeah, let's not get into the Conte's Allegri over Conte's Juventus over Allegri's Juventus. But I thought, player for player, they're not dissimilar in quality as to what's gone before them. But as a team, they are certainly not even the sum of their parts. And that Empoli goal was almost a sort of an example of where it's kind of going wrong. There's just all this sort of confusion sometimes around. There was this sort of quiet assuredness from Juventus at times. You know, that ball wouldn't ricochet or bounce to somebody, and it just wouldn't get through that next layer of person before it broke to Mancuso to sort of slot it home. But it's all over the pitch. It's, you know, it's not just, you know, Chesney made mistakes last week, but it's not just him. The defence looks a little bit in a muddle at times. The midfield doesn't look like it's got any sort of coherence. And then as you sort of move forward, they just have seemed a bit lost since Ronaldo joined, which we'll get onto later, obviously. And I saw somebody refer to that as playing with 10 men until Ronaldo scores is what they've been doing since he was there. And I thought that's not quite correct, but it's not a bad sort of summation of how they've been over the last couple of years. They have often looked like a team playing with 10 men, and not just because of Ronaldo's you know, presence on the pitch, but at times they just look so much slower to the ball and being able to get passed around. You know, it's not something that we have associated with Juventus until probably the last two or three seasons.
If there is a way to plaster over these quite gaping cracks, Allegri's probably the man to find the way to do that. But do you think that there is a way for Juventus to overcome these problems on a short-term basis, being between now and, let's say, January, when the window reopens?
Well, I don't know if the window necessarily will.
Well, they need a midfield, right? If the window opens and they get a decent midfielder, that will go a long way to helping things.
Yeah, I suppose this year we're not expecting there to be sort of a runaway leader by the time we get to January, because you don't want to be so far off the chasing pack. Because the problem this year for Juventus is not necessarily that they there's a clear challenger that will go away and, you know, just take the title, is that there's four or five other challengers for Champions League football, and they really don't need to be off the pace by the time January comes around. So Allegri is certainly capable of whipping them into shape, but he's going to probably have to do it by not this international break, but we have the one in October or November.
Because both, I think.
But I don't think he can wait. I don't think we can wait for that improvement in Juventus until sort of December, January time.
My bold prediction is that Juventus will be struggling. Milan will be winter champions. Juve will sign Kessié and win the league. There you go. It's out there. It's out there. No, I'm joking. Milan fans, relax, please. My God. Vito, Cristiano Ronaldo. Look, we've waited 14 minutes to talk about him. We've got to, don't we? Because he's gone. He's left Serie A. He's left Juventus. I'm personally quite pleased about that. And it is easy to point at both this result and his exit and to just laugh at Juve and say, oh, look, you were Cristiano, like small club ratioed, all of this nonsense. But what are your overall thoughts on his exit?
Oh, look, the timing's not ideal simply because they don't have much time to really look for replacement. But a guy like him with his record and his abilities, he's not easy to replace at all, even at 36 years of age. This will probably give Allegri a bit of a chance to see if he can build a more collective unit, to see if he can build a team that's going to be, you know, gelling well instead of having to build the attack around one star player. If we're to talk about his overall impact or spell, considering that he scored 101 goals in 134 competitive matches, I mean, it's a good record, even if, like you said in a tweet, Connor, that he didn't always have that sort of wow fact about those goals. They weren't your picture goals or anything of great spectacle as such, but he was prolific nonetheless. Challenged Ciro Immobile to the Capo Cannoniere title in 2019-20, won it last season, scored five more goals than Romelu Lukaku. So his individual impact was there, but in terms of, say, what he had to bring to the table in the sense of a collective thing, he was brought in more or less to win the Champions League, to get them over that hurdle in Europe, and unfortunately he didn't do that. So I think that's where his spell might have been looked at as being underwhelming or anticlimactic, but I think when you produce those numbers, at least he was getting the score on the board, he was adapting to Italian football, and I think from that aspect, I do not think he should be labelled a flop. It's just more he did not bring that sort of... He didn't bring the big ears back to Turin.
Flops. Flop's too strong a word, but, you know, and his social media team and his supporters and Juventus supporters will love those numbers, you know, because you can kind of hide behind those. There was an element of, it felt arrogance that he was kind of going to another, you know, going to a team, not necessarily a league, but going to a team where he was going to pick up domestic honours. And he could kind of put the effort in for the Champions League nights, if you like, in the knockout stages. We did see that. You know, he got them through a couple of rounds in his early years at Juventus. You know, didn't quite get them to, you know, over that final hurdle. You know, his final contribution is, you know, dodging out of the way of that free kick for Porto, which maybe sums up how far he sort of struggled to actually take Juventus over that final hurdle. I think even for everything I've said about on the pitch and that sort of playing with 10 men until, you know, he pops up with a goal, at the start of this season, maybe we're seeing some of the impact from the obvious departure that was coming from Juventus. And not necessarily just because he was on the bench, because if I don't necessarily hate doing this, but if we look at Messi, obviously he left Barcelona for another... for different reasons, but there was only ever one club that was really going to be able to, you know, afford to take him, or, you know, two maybe, you know, we put City in it. It clearly hasn't been that case with Ronaldo. It looked like, you know, City were the only team really, because he was going to go to another side where domestic honours were extremely likely, you know, maybe a little less likely in the Premier League, but then he'd be helping them get over the Champions League hurdle that they've been trying to jump for a number of years. But then when we have this 11th hour move to Manchester United, or, you know, however that's come about, United pushing, Ronaldo pushing, there's no been sort of gunfight over how they're, you know, City haven't been outbid by United. It's like Juventus have just gone, yeah, you know, it feels like Juventus have gone, he's going. City were in the leaders, but then, you know, United came in. They almost haven't even put up a fight. So, you know, it just feels like it's, yeah, he's going. Just somebody take him off our hands now. That's, I think, that's the sad element of this kind of ending, because he did have an impact on Serie A. Obviously, it brings the media coverage. Fans going to the stadiums and the excitement of seeing him and everything else. You know, a lot like what we've got with Mourinho now that will come to come into the league with the media attention. But it never really felt like he was kind of buying into Juventus. Yeah, domestically, I want to say, you know, a little bit like a vanity project for him and Allegri. He'd be able to produce his produce the numbers that he was still producing at Real Madrid before that, and Agnelli, or, you know, Juventus would have this trophy of a player, and even, you know, Serie A had this trophy of a player. It's, you know, probably the most impressive signing of the last kind of decade to Serie A. Although, yeah, Zlatan would have something to say about that.
Yeah, absolutely right. You will. Absolutely right. You will. It's a strange one, right? I almost feel like he got these two moves done in the wrong order, in that he should have gone to United when he was 3 years younger and tried to elevate them, being able to give both in domestic competition and in the Champions League, and then come to Juve, or I don't know, maybe PSG, when he didn't quite have those legs and maybe he just wanted to focus on European football, perhaps, who knows. But I'm pleased to see him go. I do appreciate that. Obviously, that there was that excitement around. Do you know what? I don't even want to say that there was excitement around Italian football when he was here, because there wasn't any excitement that was brought to Italian football was around him, and everything else was inconsequential. Nobody cared what was happening elsewhere. He played, his debut was against Chievo, and I'm pretty sure the Bentegodi sold out. Anyone who knows Chievo knows how outrageous that is, because Chievo don't come close to filling the Bentegodi when they played there. So that kind of summed it up. People did go to games to see Cristiano Ronaldo. People, my least favorite thing, I'll let you jump in a second, but my least favorite thing about Cristiano in Italy was that whenever he scored in the stadium, and it didn't really matter where it was that he scored, with the exception of a couple, but I mean, if he scored in Parma, he scored at the San Siro, he scored anywhere probably except for Bergamo, Napoli, and maybe Rome, when he did that celebration, you could hear fans in almost all parts of the stadium joining with the "see" as he landed the jump. And I'm pleased I'll never have to hear that again, to be perfectly honest with you, Kev.
No, I was just going to back you up on your excitement around Ronaldo rather than Serie A, because I remember at the time there were a couple of major newspapers that kind of did match reports on that first sort of, you know, which they would never do for, you know, even Verona, Juventus, they wouldn't do a match report, and it was all about Ronaldo. And then you had, there was a couple of games, wasn't there? He hadn't scored.
I think three.
So you had a couple of weeks of kind of, is he going to flop? And then once he scored a couple of goals, that was it. You know, that initial interest, not necessarily excitement, from even, you know, an alternative country's news. You know, it was not Portugal. You know, it was just Ronaldo. It's just an English language and UK newspapers. But yeah, it's exactly an example of where there was never really interest really in the league, I suppose.
It was all him. A few people have pointed to his thank you message as he departed. putting, signing it off with grazie. Well, grazie being spelt with two Z's in the middle, and people saying that, look, he was here for 3 years and he doesn't even know how to say thanks in Italian. How ridiculous is that? Which, to be honest, Cristiano, that is quite poor. Although I'm not thinking for a moment that he made that graphic himself. So whoever is on his team, basics that. Google Translate will help you there. Anyway, take a short few seconds break and then we will move on to part two, wherein we will talk about Lazio.
Jose, we'd like to thank you for the trophies and the good times too. We'll sing your name at every game. You're the special one and we all love you.
Ready, girls?
The best in the world, we all know.
Whoa, whoa.
We didn't ever want you to go. Jose Mourinho, the man who stole the show. You're the special one and you're dynamo. Whoa, whoa. Jose Mourinho, you're special. You're special. You'll always be special, Jose.
Okay, relief. We're back. It is a relief, Peter. And what is even more of a relief to Lazio fans is the fact that Maurizio Sarri has rocked up and things are going swimmingly. They played Spezia. They went 1-0 down early on. 1-0 behind for the second consecutive week as well. Not that it mattered. They came back roaring back and they won 6-1. Vito Sarismo is here. Even Hisai scored. Is it time for Lazio fans and us to get excited? Because I already am.
Oh, definitely. I remember when he first came to Napoli, probably the first three or four games, he was struggling to find his feet. Then he changed the formation and then they started steamrolling opponents. At Chelsea and Juve, he had his difficulties there. But with Lazio, it's like, you know, from the beginning, they've really adapted to his approach. It's a bit more free-flowing, considering the players that he's got there. But the football's been scintillating and they just look so confident and composed in the way they conduct themselves. They totally dominate the games. Especially in this particular game, Spezia just had no answers for them. And even though they conceded early, after that, that was the catalyst for them just to tear Spezia apart. And there was a lot to admire with the way the Aquile played.
Fair to say, Vito, that they've not had the toughest opponents so far, right? But did you expect them to be playing quite like this early on under Sarri?
No, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier that after he left Empoli, he would have these difficulties at the new teams that he would coach and have some issues trying to get the teams to play the football that he wants. Lazio, although they had a bit of a scare against Empoli, in general, I think they've really embraced his approach and with the players that he's got there, especially in the midfield with Milinkovic-Savic, Luis Alberto, Felipe Anderson, they've really taken things to task. Immobile is not living up to his name. He's been the opposite. He's been rather mobile as well, not just a prolific scorer. And you know you're going to have a good day when you get a guy like Patrick, who's a terrible player, especially as a defender, but I think he was very composed and he was able to just pass the ball effectively. Just kept it simple, distributed to any other defender or the midfielders in front of him, and he didn't make any idiotic mistakes. So I think if Sarri can get as many of those errors out of his game, I think that's a very positive sign for Lazio.
Why are you picking on Patrick? They've just won 6-1.
Because usually he's a terrible defender. Usually he's just atrocious. But, it's like Sarri. He's already weaving his magic. I mean, if you can transform the worst of players, that's something to already be proud of, even in at this early stage of his stint.
I'm trying to think of a thing because sometimes the R here can be pronounced a bit like an L. I think that might be a bit of a Parma thing. But I'm trying to think of the when Harry met Sally, when Patrick met Sarri. Maybe there's a film in that combination there. Who knows? Kev, we won't entertain my daft ideas. We'll continue to talk about Ciro Immobile because he's got 4 goals in 2 games. He's got a hat-trick in the first half this weekend. And it's fair to say that after the ridiculous criticism, I mean, fair enough, he wasn't at his best, but some of the criticism over the summer was over the top, and we said that at the time as well. He is responding in the best possible way, and he is loving life under Sarri, and he's going to be the new Gonzalo Higuain.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what I said on our preview pod as well. I tipped him for Capo Cagnari, because you know Sarri will create chances for him. Lovely first goal, that sort of delicate little chip.
The second
finish from outside the box was beautiful as well. You know, and he got that little bit of luck, wasn't it? It was like directly after missing the pen, which maybe there's an element of Higuain there that Sarri's given Ciro.
Missing penalties.
He missed a couple that I can recall in a Napoli shirt. I mean, one against Lazio, wasn't it? But yeah, he'll get chances. The Euros is, you know, international football players. Okay, he plays with, but not on a weekly basis. And you know, it's one of those. Because you're a striker, I think a lot of the excellent work you do for the team kind of gets missed, or gets missed on purpose, because it's a nice narrative for a journalist to write when a striker's not scoring. So it's the easy one. It's a little bit of lazy punditry and journalism, I think, when a striker's not scoring, but Ciro will be fine. And I am quite confident, not confident to lose another dinner bet with you, but
are we doing this? Sorry?
No. I'll continue to just watch Quagliarella not score for Samp. And,
leave him alone. He's not having chances created for him. Jesus, today, I swear to God, I was getting angry just watching him wander about with no one giving him the ball. But anyway, yeah, Ciro is going to be fine. Kev, I'll get a prediction off you, though, because we can't make a bet on this because we think the same thing. So we'll find another thing to do that with at some point this season. How many goals is Immobile scoring in Serie A this season? He's got 4 and 2.
Yeah, I'll go 25 minimum.
Disrespectful. I'm going to say he's getting at least 30. At least 30 this season. Anyway, one of the reasons I think he might get so many goals is because Felipe Anderson is back to what he called, Vito, his home. And he scored. So I want to ask, he's had a bit of a funny time since leaving Lazio, really. What do you think of him coming back to the Biancoceleste now?
I think it's an ideal move, and also, you know, playing in a Sarri team, I think a player of his qualities would be well suited, and it showed. For the fourth goal, it was a lovely flick on his part at Sombrero, and then just to finish like he did, you know, it was a terrific goal on his part, and even in general play, he just looks so composed, confident on the ball, willing to take players on. And he's not always in a fixed position. He'll move around to wherever he gets those pockets of space and just dazzle on the ball. I think returning to Serie A is ideal for him. So I think the type of football that's played in Italy is more to his liking. Whereas, you know, without becoming cliche or anything like that, I just don't think, you know, playing in the Premier League was really for him. So returning to Lazio, I think, yeah, best move for him, and I reckon he'll keep getting better.
A player who very much went to the Premier League, did very well, came to Italy, did very well, and has now changed sides in Italy is Pedro. He's settling in quite nicely there already, Kev, like basically everybody is in the blue half, and I would say the red half of the Eternal City. With Pedro, Sergio Milinkovic-Savic, Luis Alberto, and even Lucas, your mate, is there an argument to be made that Lazio, minus Patrick and maybe Pepe Reina, have one of the strongest, if not the strongest, 11s in Serie A when everyone's fit?
Yeah, sadly, I can't disagree with you. Yeah, so Reina does have his blind spots on occasion, but you know, he's getting older. I do think he's still an upgrade on Strakosha. And
do you really?
Yeah, I was never convinced by Strakosha. It was more about his performances, I think, than Reina's. I don't think there's a lot in it, but particularly if we think about Sarri's football, Reina always impressed everybody. I sit around Anfield, his distribution, and you know, playing that high line as a goalkeeper. Obviously, when you're getting a bit older and you're losing a bit of your speed coming out off your line, maybe he's playing a little deeper than what he was when he was maybe even at Napoli. But yeah, they're certainly up there. Lucas is you know, I'd happily chat to anybody over Lucas for his tactical discipline and his positioning. But he's also a more progressive midfielder than I think people give him credit for. And it'll be interesting if we see a little bit more of that from him this season under Sarri. I've not had a chance to watch Lazio in full yet, but I'd be keen to kind of see if he's doing a little bit more of what he can do and just kind of got pigeonholed into a bit of a defensive midfielder and maybe a little bit immobile at times. But he's not actually. He's just not the speediest player. And as for Pedro, well, always going to be a success in my eyes because I think the Barcelona side he played in was so good that his quality kind of got missed at times because of what was around him, and a tremendous little player.
Yeah, fantastic player. Anyway, that'll do for Lazio. On part three, we'll be talking a little bit about AC Milan, who won again.
There's only one Zlatan.
Are you sure?
Yeah. You know Zlatan?
I know. Sometimes I think it's his twin brother. Because last Wednesday, it was another behavior than today. You play so well today.
How you know Zlatan? Is the fourth time you meet him only?
Yeah. Vito, Milan, they are romping it. They beat Cagliari 4-1 at the Stadio San Siro. You did the report for us on this one. You covered it for FIF. And it was a bit of an electric start at the San Siro. Talk us through the game.
It was a fabulous first half. Both teams were playing at a high tempo. Obviously, Milan had more of the possession, but it looked like that both teams were going for it. And the Rossoneri showed that the individual qualities stood out as well, instead of not just the team play. I think the superior squad quality made the difference in this case. And eventually, the Cagliari defense just could not handle them. They moved the ball very quickly, the Rossoneri. They were, you know, direct, and it's been quite a while since I've seen them play with such confidence. I was honestly expecting a similar result to the Lazio-Spezia game, but what they did in the first half was more than enough, and the likes of Brahim Diaz, Giroud, and even Leao, they were very impressive, and Tonali to open the scoring with that free kick, that was superb. In the second half, the game sort of slowed down. Milan showed mercy on Cagliari, but Cagliari didn't show enough to really muster a comeback or show some fight to keep the scoreboard a bit respectable. I think with what Milan done, they were so relentless in the first half, and undoubtedly they deserved the 3 points. Just a wonderful performance from Pioli's men.
Mm. Yeah, Tonali scored a gorgeous goal, and I've got to admit I was quite happy when I saw that he had scored and gotten off the mark, because he's had a lot of criticism as well throughout the summer and last season. But then that happiness turned into not quite frustration, but I kind of just felt a little bit, oh no, why have you done that? Because I saw a video of his goal held up beside a video of Andrea Pirlo's first ever goal for Milan, and they are identical. They both took free kicks from the same position and put them into the same parts of the net. And the reason I'm not happy about this is because Tonali has been called like the new Pirlo for as long as I can remember, despite not being anything much like Andrea Pirlo as a player, except for the fact that they both are quite attractive men with the similar haircut, particularly in their youth. But that's where the comparisons stop for me. But Kev, on Tonali, is this his season? He's another year older. He's had a year at Milan now to settle, and he looks like he's ready to explode.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yeah, I think it will certainly be a better season. And that comparison with Pirlo was one of the things that I highlighted last year as an issue for his kind of stalling, or maybe just not hitting the ground running at Milan. They were also in a very good place with regards to their league performances last year with Kessié and Benacer in the midfield. And at that point, you couldn't really expect him to sort of come in and dominate. And because of the media attention he got, there was maybe an inaccurate price, you know, a price agreed that was the kind of not the obligation to buy, but the opportunity to buy at the end of the season. So there was probably a little bit of the fact that he felt he needed to maybe live up to that price. People wanted him to live up to that price tag. And now it's been made permanent. Almost, you know, he's not maybe sweating over whether he's actually going to be a full-time Milan player. And actually the price that they managed to negotiate down a little is probably more reflective of actually where he is with his career and how old he is. It's almost like Brescia were charging them for the potential as opposed to, you know, what he was at the time. And now that we've got Kessié just kind of slowly coming back from the African nations, he will leave for the Africa Cup of Nations at some point this season. So it'll be another opportunity for Tonali to get some minutes in his belt. But actually, obviously, the Olympics is what Kessié's come back from. So he's had a shorter summer. And again, so I think that maybe that pressure, knowing that he's getting those minutes, and maybe Pioli's been very open with him, saying, you know, start of the season, I'm going to give you this run of games. You know, the season usually starts at a little bit of a slower pace. You know, we mentioned the heat last week. So possibly everything is kind of lining up into place for Tonali this year to have a good sort of finally have that breakthrough season at Milan.
Fingers crossed. Vito, we've got players like Tonali, Rafael Leao. Who else is there? Simon Kjær, Olivier Giroud. There's a lot of these players who are very much at the opposite ends of their careers. And I think we saw on Sunday evening that when it all comes together, this is when Milan are at their best, right?
Oh, certainly. And it's a good balance too, because those veterans, the well-seasoned, they have an understanding of the game in general and they've had respectable careers, particularly Giroud. So they can advise these young players and give them some confidence. Whereas the youngsters they brought in, they've been good acquisitions and they've shown that they do have a lot of potential. And then there's also the room for them to improve. It also shows that Pioli's been able to give them a structure, but the team's balanced. Again, what I do like about this team is that there are players in natural positions and roles that really suit them. He's not experimenting or he's not chopping or changing or trying to make them into something that they're not. So I think with most of the positions being well covered, I think that's really been beneficial for the squad and allows them to play the best football that they can.
you look at the squad and they've got a lot of exciting players, some big names in Kier. I said Kier a minute ago, didn't I? I'm sorry, Simon. With Kier Ibrahimovic and Giroud, they've got all of these young players. Vito, you gave Brahim Diaz man of the match this evening as well. But then, Kev, you've got the likes of Davide Calabria and Alessandro Florenzi. And it's easy to look at them and just kind of think, meh. But they've got quite a big role to play there this season, don't they?
Yeah, well, I think particularly at fullback, when you've got Hernandez going off on his runs up the left-hand side, there's a...
He was great tonight. He was great. I'm not going to have you slander
no,
him
no,
today.
But I think for balance, because, you know, unlike where, you know, people want two really dynamic kind of full-back stroke wing-backs, which I think is fine in a three or, in, you know, in other, you know, formations, maybe where you drop a centre, your defensive midfielder drops into the centre half. But so I think actually having a Calabria brings a bit of balance. And I don't think he's poor going forward, but why not have those players that kind of just go undetected? Because, you know, the fans always love kind of that sort of player. I had until last week even missed that Florenzi had gone to Milan until he came off of the bench. But, you know, they had Conte from Atalanta. That was this kind of dynamic rampaging, you know, again, came in with a lot of, you know, hope that
he's still technically there as well, I think. They're trying to get rid of him. I don't think they have yet.
Yeah, but, you know, but that didn't work. So then why not Calabria? You know, Calabria's kind of, you know, there was injury problems with Conte, but he's kind of seen off the challenges of other fullbacks. So, yeah, I think they're kind of fundamental to the way teams work, just having that player that keeps their head down. Not doing a bad job at all, is he?
No, not at all. I quite like him, actually, to be honest. He's quite easy to look at and think, he's not great, but I do.
He's got a nice rolled down sock as well, which...
I've not actually noticed that. He's just one of those admirable professionals, though, isn't he? You know what you're getting with him. He's never going to give you a 10 out of 10, but he'll probably never give you a 2 out of 10. You're always going to get between like a 6 and a 7 out of Calabria, so... I think there's definitely a space for that in any team, and I think Florenzi's a little bit cut from the same cloth. Vito, 1 point from two for Cagliari, though. After the way they finished last season, it's not the kind of start that Semplici will have hoped for.
No, not at all. They just seems that all this stuff with not being able to sign Raja Nainggolan again. And he's gone to Royal Antwerp, back in his native Belgium. Rog out for the season. And then there's also this talk of Nandez leaving. That would unsettle the squad, so that's not good. Kranjo didn't play in this game, but I think Milan played so well that it would have been hard even for him to stop that sort of demolition. And just up front, I think they're going to be relying a lot on João Pedro again to provide that spark. And his pass to Diola was superb. I mean, we need to see a lot more from that if Cagliari stand the chance of survival. And Pavoletti was quite disappointing, but he's the kind of guy that needs crosses. And Cagliari went to... producing many because Theo and Leao were just dominant on the left, and then on the right you've got Calabria and Salamakers putting a good shift. So for Cagliari, it just was not easy at all to put in any adequate supply for Pavoletti to just hang in the air.
Luckily, Salernitana and Venezia are doing so badly that Cagliari are probably only going to be fighting with one other side for survival. So,
just like last season, basically. Although it's the two new boys who are very, very much in trouble, it would seem. Anyway, that'll do. We will return for part four, and we'll talk very quickly about the other Serie A games as well.
We saw you scream into the camera that it's coming to Rome after the game. Of course, this is something aimed at what they all say in England about football coming home. Was that something you used as a motivation or as something that maybe lit a fire inside of you before this game?
Assolutamente sì.
All right, so where shall we start with these? I think, Kev, I'll come to you for Atalanta Bologna. Finished 0-0. Mihailovic parked the bus and it worked. Job done, take a point, run back to Bologna, basically.
Yeah, I saw the highlights of this. I did think that Atalanta were a little wayward in some of their finishing.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe that just comes out of the frustration from Mihailovic's kind of defensive stance. And when you are playing a side like Atalanta at home, first game of the season, it's not a bad tactic to attempt, and he got away with it. So he will be happy, Bologna will be happy, the fans will be happy. Hmm. Just Gasperini that won't be too happy. So, yeah, it's... There won't be many other games like that for Atalanta, I think, when you've got Zapata and Muriel up to speed later in the season.
No, I mean, well, Duvan's out for a month at the moment, unfortunately, and Muriel had the Copa America with Duvan this summer. So, yeah, there were a lot of chances for Atalanta, particularly in the first few minutes, that once they didn't take those, the chances were fewer and farther between, and you could kind of see that the writing was on the wall from about an hour in, unfortunately. I had something to say, but I've completely forgotten. Oh yeah, this was the first 0-0 in Serie A of the season, and it came between Atalanta, perhaps the most exciting team in Europe for the last 2 or 3 years, and Bologna, who have scored and conceded a combination of about 25 goals in a Coppa Italia match and their opening Serie A game of the season. So there you go. That's both of those teams' only scoreless draw of the season. There's going to be goals even more than there would otherwise have been when they returned from the international break. The next game, Vito Salernitana played Roma. They lost 4-0, I believe, it finished. Veretout's on fire. Abraham is off the mark and looking brilliant. And Mourinho has found a son in Lorenzo Pellegrini, it would seem.
Oh, they just completely dominated Salernitana. They just looked very composed on the ball, passing with great freedom, and they had great composure. I like the way they played, to be honest, because I don't think we've really seen a Mourinho team play with such endeavour, probably since his Real Madrid days, to be honest. I know it sounds a bit cliched, especially regarding Mourinho, but it's an impressive approach so far. And the players you mentioned, Vertu, getting into scoring positions from deep. He's been fantastic in that role, and he can only get better with Mourinho. Abraham, he's adapting to Italian football very quickly. Just looks so fast, mobile, and it was a fine finish on his part to score. And then, yeah, Pellegrini, he probably, I wouldn't say he caused controversy, but I think he was having a bit of a dummy spit when he released that story on Instagram. But I think now with Mourinho, he can show what a footballer he can be. When he performs, he can be an integral part of that Giallorossi team. And there were two good finishes, especially the fourth one. That was an excellent bending strike from Pellegrini. So hopefully for their sake, Pellegrini can produce that type of form.
I find it crazy, to be honest. I'm one of the people who's always been slightly doubtful of Pellegrini, but Mourinho said during the week I'd play three Pellegrinis in my team if I had them. He loves him, and it's interesting to see. Maybe Pellegrini is going to be as like his Frank Lampard type, where he just puts his arm around the shoulder and falls in love. So I'm wondering who the John Terry character is going to be, because I don't know if Roma have that character, unless it's going to be Big Chris. I can't see it, to be honest. But maybe Kumbula? It's Tammy Abraham. Who knows? Mm. Kumbula, possibly, Vito. Possibly. Kev, Genoa 1, Napoli 2. Big Andrea Patania walked onto the pitch and had barely stopped walking when he headed in the winner for Napoli. The king is back.
Yeah, he's off the mark. Sal Osimhen, don't need him.
Sal Insigne as well, let him leave. Just play Patania, play with 10, you're sorted.
Yeah, well, I saw Sam Vito in the week on Twitter was bigging up sort of Patania maybe being a better option for Samp. So
they're linked
maybe
with them.
Maybe it was just an audition for Samp to, you know, get the big man in. You know, he came in came in, did what was asked of him. Do you think he would have been a little bit disappointed not to start, considering Osimhen serving a suspension?
I'm not sure. I think Petagna went there kind of knowing his role, in truth, particularly with Aussie men there. Napoli aren't a team that play with a player like Andrea Petagna when things are going to plan, unfortunately. But maybe he'll start next week. It's against, isn't it against Juve? Don't they play Juve in the first game back after the international break?
I haven't looked past the international break.
Because I know Osimhen got a two-game ban, and I'm pretty sure the second of those is against Juve.
Yes, it is. I remember reading that. Yeah, because, yeah, it is. It's definitely Juve.
Yeah, it is. Get big Andrea in the 11, Luciano. You will not regret it if the Spal version shows up. Verona 1, Inter 3, Vito. Correa, I mean, he came off the bench just like Petagna did, but he scored two goals from the bench. One of them was a great header, and the other was a lovely finish from just outside the box. Not a bad way to introduce yourself to your new set of supporters, particularly when a lot of people are very skeptical about your move in the first place.
Yeah, that's true, because Correa does have that reputation for being inconsistent and not being prolific, but super sub impact. Okay. That's what it was.
Vito, just repeat that, please, because it seemed to cut out on our end.
Mm-hmm. Correa certainly made that super sub impact. I mean, it was an incredible way to make a debut, and he did have those doubters there questioning his prolificness and his inconsistency at Lazio, but to score the two goals like he did, I think that was fantastic on his part. Inter fans. Ooh. Inter did have a bit of a struggle against Verona. They weren't as fluid as they were against Genoa, but I think, again, this is when they show that when you have that star quality, it makes the difference. And Correa made sure that the points were going back to, you know, the blue and black part of Milan with those goals in the last 10 minutes. And joy to watch. I think he can make an impact later on.
Does he get in your team of the week, Vito, if you're allowed? Yeah, oh, I know you're. Definitely. If he comes off the bench, I know sometimes you don't allow that. You only played 15 minutes.
It varies, but I think with what he did in such a limited time and to secure such a win, he makes my team of the week.
Kev's only asking because he wants to use him as player of the week, but he has to be sure that he's in the team before he does that.
No. I'll stick by a sort of 15-minute cameo isn't enough when somebody else has scored a hat trick this week, maybe. Giving away who it's going to be, everybody.
I wonder who that could be. Anyway, I was at the Mappe for Sassuolo Sampdoria. It finished 0-0. I don't know how, to be perfectly honest with you, because for the first 20 minutes, it was end-to-end. Nobody was defending. Everybody was pushing forward, and it was great. The next 20 minutes were still quite lively, but not quite as lively. And then the second half, basically, not much happened at all. But Sassuolo peppered Emil Adero's goal, and I've got to give him credit. We pointed fingers at him for the goal he conceded against Brahim Diaz, I believe, in the first round of fixtures this season, but he was brilliant today. Filip Juricic, Raspadori, Jeremy Boga, Chicho Caputo, everybody had a go, but Adero just said no, and he is the reason that Samp left Reggio Emilia with a point in the bag, so they'll be pleased enough with that, I'd imagine. Kev, Fiorentina beat Torino in their, I was going to say the friendly derby, but it's not a derby, it's just a friend match, because they have that twinning, the Gemellaggio between the two ultras there, and it's always quite amicable. Fiorentina won 2-1 anyway. Vlahovic and Nico Gonzalez both scored.
Yeah, there's a little bit of hype, certainly a lot of optimism around Gonzalez, so it was nice to see him get off the score sheet. It was it looked like it didn't have enough pace on it. It was really kind of a delicate curled effort, so it was more about accuracy than power. And then it was a great move that was finished off by Vlahovic, which Bonaventura sent over a cross that was just gagging to be headed.
He did. Our Jack, we love Jack. Jack propaganda on FIF is always welcome. Vito, something I'm not very welcoming of was the fact that Udinese beat Venezia 3-0. Venezia, Ewan described them once as a club that is just 100% vibes. So from now on, they are Venezia, the vibe club. They're struggling in Serie A, it's fair to say. Losing 3-0 against Udinese is... it's not a great way to start life in the top tier.
No, not at all. And also against, I wouldn't say a regional rival because they're from two separate regions, but they're from that part of northeastern Italy. So when those kind of teams play each other, it's not always friendly at all. So for the Zebrette to smash them 3-0, I'm sure the Veneziani would not be thrilled whatsoever. And once again, I think it just shows that Venezia's team, just the squad looks out of depth. Again, these players are really lacking Serie A experience. And they also just sold one of the main talisman in Serie B, Francesco Di Mariano. He was a good forward for them. Good scorer and creator. He's gone to Lecce. He stayed in Serie B, which I think is a shame because I think he deserved a shot in Serie A. But that's the path they've taken. And, you know, I'm already feeling pessimistic about Venezia.
Yeah, I am too. You've reminded me of something that it's a riddle and a question that I stumbled across by accident while chatting to Kev last week, waiting to start the podcast recording. So I'm going to ask our listeners this question. Which Serie A team is in Friuli Venezia Giulia, but isn't in Friuli Venezia Giulia? And while our listeners ponder that question, Kev, you've got a bit of a gripe because Udinese wore a dreadful green and basically like a Sprite can kit at home.
Yeah, I switched on and I thought, you know, what's going on? Who's, you know, I was pretty sure that Venezia were playing a lot of their first games of the season away from home. And then I found myself actually wanting the ban on green kits to take place this season rather than next because it's a god-awful colour.
It's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's up there. I don't think we've done anything on good and... well, we did do good and bad kits. I don't think... I can't have seen that one when it came out.
No, I don't know where it came from. It just seemed to appear, didn't it, this weekend? Because I didn't actually see this. And then you said that Udinese wore a green kit at home. And I thought, what? They've not got a green kit, have they? But yeah, strange one.
Strange they rock one. Up in all sorts of stuff, don't they?
They do. They do, and this is one of the reasons why we'd be happy to see them fall down to Serie B. Listeners, I'll put you out of your misery. The Serie A team which is in Friuli Venezia Giulia but isn't in Friuli Venezia Giulia is, of course, Venezia. It's a strange one, but Venezia is not in that region. It's actually in the region of Veneto, but of course the word Venezia is in Friuli Venezia Giulia, so... I stumbled across that last week, had a bit of fun with it. Nobody else did, so I'm sure that none of you listeners did, but I'm enjoying it, and that is, in my mind, all that matters. So you can stuff it. Anyway, look, that's all of the Serie A football we've got to talk about. Before we let you guys go, though, we've got to play the game. So last week, Kev, I gave you a charity point. I got the points. First week of the season, there were three of you and I got the point, but we'll go again. Kev, as a person who picked up a point last week, I'm going to let you go first, even though you didn't win.
But I thought you were going to let me go, as in let me go.
You're so funny. You're so funny. Anyway, you know the rules. Let's go, mystery Serie A player. It's quite an easy one, given the fact that my selection process is very flawed for this game. But anyway, Kev, take it away.
Are they Italian?
Yes, they are Italian.
Do they play in Northern Italy?
They do, yes.
Do they play in Milan?
They do not play in Milan. When you say Milan, I don't know if you mean the club or the city.
The city of Milan.
They do not play in the city of Milan. No. Vito, over to you.
Do they play in Emilia-Romagna?
They do, yes.
Is it a Sassuolo player?
Yes, it is. Vito knows. Vito knows the logic.
Is it Giacomo Raspadori?
It is not Giacomo Raspadori. I thought that was too obvious. So it's not. So, Kev, you know that it's an Italian player who plays for Sassuolo.
Is it Domenico Berardi?
Why are we going with names already? We usually do positions. Well, no, it's not Berardi. Over to Vito.
Is it a defender?
It's not a defender. No, Kev.
Is it a midfielder?
Yes, he is a midfielder.
Bugger. Oh, why have
I? Be honest with you. I heard the fans singing his name today, and I thought, Is he still there?
It's not Manelli.
No, what's his name? What is his name? You're so close. But I cannot give you that because that is not his name. You said Manelli.
Yeah.
No. Francesco. Okay. You're missing a syllable.
Manganelli. Yeah, there. I can see the name. I can't say it.
Can you spell it?
Oh, is it Magnelli? Is that how you spell it?
No, like
I'm thinking of a number four on the show. Yeah, as well, like, which I don't even think is still there.
Vito, we've got to give him this point, don't we? It's
look, he's tried. Look, I'd give him that too.
Who is it? Because they look like 38 or something now, aren't they?
He is 36 years old, surprisingly. Francesco Manganelli.
Manganelli.
Yes, there you go.
It's certainly one that I'd look up before getting berated for spelling it wrong on a match report. So,
yeah. There you go. Congratulations, Kev. Two from two with an asterisk beside that, but it's a good start. Vito, I think we should just let him win until about game week 18, and then you could just win the subsequent 30, 20. Yeah, 20. Yeah. And then
wow. Yeah. I'm also doing my kind of slow build up into the season. As you guys know, I've not watched a lot of the games this weekend due to other commitments.
Well, don't say that while we're still recording.
Well, no, I'm just kind of saying that once I've actually got to, I'll soon be able to just watch every game that you're reporting on, Connor, and then that will give me a better idea of at least, you know, I'll have maybe 22 or 44 players to kind of choose from if I just know which games you're doing.
Fair enough.
I haven't had that luxury yet this season.
All right, guys, thank you for lending us your ears for the last hour and a bit. Kev, have you anything else to say?
No, for once.
Tell them to support us on Patreon.
Yes, support us on Patreon. Good. And we will give you special content.
Well, you're going to give them topless.
I'm
going to
give them an hour of my life. Topless if they want.
You are. Vito, have you anything else to say?
Not related to this. Well, again, just the sentiments of, Patreon. You can pay €2, €5, €10. Pay. Just pay. Give us. I mean, yes. Dedicate. You won't regret it. Support us. Yes.
Preferably the €5 tier because, to be honest, the €5 tier is definitely the best value for money. And we do want to ask you guys to tell us what you would like to hear more of. Would you like to hear us do podcasts on great Calcio teams, podcasts on great Calcio matches, whatever, individuals, Italian regions, stuff that's not related to football but is related to Italy? I mean, some of us do live here as well, so we are very much the guys to ask about that. Let us know. Join us on Patreon and we'll have you taken on a tour of Italy and Italian football with us. Thank you very much. Kev, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
I could see you wanted to say something else. That's why I told you specifically to say goodbye. Vito, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. We will speak to you very soon. Oh, it's the international break. I don't know when we'll speak to you again. Patrons will speak to you at least twice over the international break. Other people, who knows? Goodbye. Empoli.
che è arrivata già, fa paura l'incertezza. Lo stadio si riempirà e la vittoria sia certezza. Sciarpe al manacco e la bandiera li porto con me. L'aria che respiro qui mi fa crescere nel cuore la speranza di vedere grande quest'azzurro che si muove sempre più in alto, sempre più in alto con noi. Empoli, ma come azzurro è il tuo colore. Empoli, ma come amore che sento per te. Empoli, è la bandiera che porto nel cuore, è la mia squadra che sento lottare, è questa squadra che mi fa cantare. Empoli, un urlo che esplode nel cielo, vinci per noi, vinci per noi. Un urlo che esplode nel cielo, questo sogno mi lascerà una stella sul mio petto, sull'azzurro risplenderà come grande lo scudetto. Grida più forte, senza violenza con noi. Empoli, ma come azzurro è il tuo colore. Empoli, ma come amore che sento per te. Empoli, è la bandiera che porto nel cuore, è la mia squadra che sento lottare, è questa squadra che mi fa cantare. Empoli, un urlo che esplode nel cielo, vinci per noi, vinci per noi. Un urlo che esplode nel cielo. Empoli, ma come azzurro è il tuo colore. Empoli, ma come amore che sento per te. Empoli, è la bandiera che porto nel cuore, è la mia squadra che sento lottare, è questa squadra che mi fa cantare.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.